So you're working really hard with marketing and promoting yourself. You're doing everything the experts are telling you. You see it working so well for others, so why aren't enough clients saying yes to you? Well, the reality is there can be so many reasons, many of which I'll explore in today's episode. But the important thing here is that you're asking the question with the intention of finding solutions. You want to change the outcome. You're not dwelling on the why aren't I getting enough clients question, and instead you're asking it to see how you can be strategic about changing the outcome. So let's make sure we're starting from that perspective so that you really get the most out of this episode. Welcome to the Upgrade Your Education Business podcast. I'm your host, Samantha, and I'm so pleased you're here. As an education business owner myself and a former teacher, I understand the nuances that only apply to us. So in this podcast, I share fluff-free, tailored and actionable ideas that you can mold to suit your needs. If you'd like to take this conversation further, please do reach out. I would love to meet you. And finally, it would mean the world to me if you could leave a review. That way, you'll be helping me help more people. Thank you for tuning in. Enjoy. I want you to use this episode to really change your results. I want you to go from wondering why enough people aren't saying yes to knowing exactly how you're going to go about changing that outcome. And to do that, you need to be in the right headspace. So if you haven't already done this, rewind and listen to the very short introduction to this episode. It will help you get in the mindset where you feel motivated to take action to change this result instead of dwelling and feeling down about it. Now, before I delve into the different areas to explore, I want to be transparent with you. I can only take you so far through a podcast episode. Honestly, if you really want to change your results and you've tried everything you can independently, it's probably time for some structured support. If you're in the Tutors Mastermind, which is a membership with a vast training library, then there's an entire section dedicated to sales. Each session is guided and action focused. It's not lecture style training, and it actually guides you through the tasks that helped you mold your own strategy. And of course, you can ask questions anytime. If you're a full member, you can get support from me and the community. If, however, you feel like you need something more personalized, then book a free discovery call with me and we can talk through your challenges and see if my bespoke one-to-one mentoring package would be better. When you work with me, you get free access to the mastermind too, so you can use it for back-end support while I support you one-to-one. All the links for everything I've mentioned is in the show notes. But if you're listening with no idea where your phone is often the case when I listen to podcasts, then just head over to upgradeyoureducationbusiness.com and you'll find all the links there. That's upgradeyoureducationbusiness.com. So you know what to do if you want structured support on this, but if you want a head start, then keep listening. This episode will help you think along the right lines to help you find solutions that will actually work. And if you do work with me or intend to, this will complement the training or advice that I give you. There are lots of different reasons why your clients might not be saying yes to what you offer, despite you knowing that what you offer would be so great for them. And this leads to the first aspect to consider. It's all very well us knowing what we offer is great, but that's not what makes sales. Sure, it gives us the confidence when we speak about what we offer, but people are only going to buy if they know it's what they need. So when we offer something that's totally aligned with our clients, that's when sales happen. Here's a really simple example that demonstrates what I'm talking about. As a business mentor, I know that the biggest challenge business owners face is finding time. Time to take action based on what they've learned, time to learn, time to set systems up, time to keep up with marketing efforts. You get the picture, we're time poor. And yet there is always so much more we want to do. Now, there are so many different ways to organize your time, ways to release time, and productivity tools to improve the situation. I know people need it. But if I centered my offer around this, it wouldn't sell quite as well as offering things that help people with their business results. So I know that they need this time management support, they know they need more time, but most people wouldn't invest a chunk of money into coaching or training just around that, because either they don't see it as being valuable enough to invest in it, or they just don't think they can change it. They see not having time as a fact. So people will only invest in things they know they need, because that's when they can justify spending money on it. Sticking with that example, it doesn't mean I can't help clients with things like releasing time and productivity tools. In fact, I do. But it comes up in conversations. Inside the mastermind, I record little demos. We put systems in place in one-to-one mentoring sessions. It isn't the primary problem we solve, but it's the thing we change so that they have time to focus on the things they want to bring into their business. So how can you apply this concept to yourself? The first thing to think about is whether what you offer is really aligned with your clients. I gave you one example of what this can mean, a situation where your clients don't know how much they need what you offer and therefore aren't buying. But there are other situations to consider too, all of which are underpinned by the crucial question, why isn't my ideal client prioritizing this? Now, very broadly speaking, there are two possible solutions that arise from this question. The first is possibly needing to change what you offer, or tweaking it at the very least. The second is keeping your offer as it is, but targeting a different client base. What you need to do will be totally steered by that earlier question. Why isn't my ideal client, or who I think is my ideal client, prioritizing this? And that's what will unlock those answers. I gave you an example a few weeks ago where a teacher coach, a client of mine, almost closed her business because in 3 years she had only had a handful of paying clients. When she welcomed my honest opinion, I highlighted that a busy, overworked and stressed teacher, who was her ideal client, was not going to make time or invest in themselves by taking a course. It doesn't align with where they're at. So we either needed to change the offer to something more appealing and accessible to them, or we needed to change who she was targeting. So getting under the skin of how your ideal client is feeling and how they're likely to be thinking is so crucial. You may have touched on this in target audience exercises, but this is about more than creating an avatar based on who you want to work with and marketing to them. This has to be about truly understanding who you work with so that you can create ideal solutions for them. Now, I mentioned that we really need to think about the why people are hesitating to say yes, why they aren't prioritizing investing in what we offer. Think about it from a slightly different angle now. So we've thought about how someone might perceive what we offer and how much value they'd place on it. And linked to that, we can also consider other objections we face. Now for this, it's useful to base it on real responses, not a hypothetical target audience exercise. Because to really know why people are hesitating, you need to hear them say it. And that means speaking to as many people as possible. So assuming that you're doing that and you have some ideas of why people are hesitating, think about what that might be telling you. For instance, if a lot of people are saying they can't afford you, one response could be to lower your prices. It's not where I would immediately go, but it's an option that you wouldn't have known to have on the table if you hadn't spoken to people. But other insights this might give you is that perhaps you aren't speaking to the right people, or if you think you are, maybe you need to communicate your offer differently. Ask yourself, are you communicating in a way where people feel relieved to have found you? They've finally found the perfect person to help them solve their problems. Continuing with this scenario, sometimes people genuinely can't afford you, but sometimes they can, but they're scared of investing, or they just can't justify spending that amount on what you offer yet. So how can you reassure them? How can you make the value clear so that they can justify investing? Lots of things to think about, but it all starts with that core question. Why are people hesitating to say yes? Answers to that will unlock what you need to do. And on that note of giving people reassurance, this is the third area I want to focus on. Understanding that our job is to make people feel confident and safe to invest in our offers. There are so many ways to do that. There are quick ways, slightly slower ways, and subtle ways. Some quick ways might be to offer things like trials. It's not something I do at the moment, but I would consider it in certain contexts. You could make sure you're displaying the kind of testimonials that relate to the problem your ideal client has and the solutions they're seeking. Testimonials are really powerful, but often we use them to prove how good what we offer is, and that's great, we need to be doing that. But we can also use them as a tool to give people reassurance, and one way to approach this is to think about how you can display them strategically. So if we take a website as an example, Where would testimonials be best placed to make someone want to keep looking into what you offer? What would give them the confidence to buy? In a recent episode, I talked about nurturing the maybes, the people who are thinking about working with you but aren't sure yet. You might speak to some of these people, in which case it can be easier to gauge what they need to feel reassured. But how about the people who are thinking about it from a distance, the people who haven't interacted with you yet? Strategically placed testimonials are a great way of helping them walk across the line. And this really highlights the importance of understanding your client base. It's why I dedicated the first part of this episode to it. If you understand what your potential clients are thinking and experiencing, you can come up with targeted ways to give them the reassurance they need. Just to digress for a moment, there's a lot of debate around niching. Some people say you should really narrow down who you work with and what you offer, and some say you don't have to. I don't really have a binary opinion on that because I think it's context dependent. For example, as a tutor, I work with students taking entrance exams. Now, although I'm known amongst my client base for preparing students for a small group of schools, I don't formally specialise in them. That's not what I communicate. I have supported students preparing for a variety of schools. But some entrance exam tutors only focus on specific schools. There's no right and wrong as such, but when it comes to being really targeted in how you can communicate your offer, the more niched you are, the easier it becomes to understand who you work with. Just to give you another example, I could widen my support to other businesses instead of just focusing on education business owners. But by choosing to work with them, with you, exclusively, I really understand them and I can offer services and products that are totally tailored. I don't have to make what I talk about or offer more generic. So when I talk about understanding why your customers might be hesitating and so on, this aspect of niching is relevant because it does steer the words you use and how you craft what you offer. And it affects things like pricing as well. And this moves me to my fourth area, which is when you know the answers to all these different questions, when you know exactly why people aren't investing in what you offer, what do you do about it? Well, this part has to be totally tailored to your findings. Sometimes it means tweaking what you offer. For instance, I have found a lot of people who joined the mastermind are launching their businesses, and ideally they need one-to-one support. So I could get people to take one-to-ones in addition to the tutor's mastermind, but then I'm pressurizing them to spend more money, which they may not have given that they've already invested in the mastermind. So I responded to this by amending what I offer. Within the mastermind, I'm creating a launch roadmap, or I've created it depending on when you're listening. And that means that I'm going to record extra videos outside of the recorded live sessions to fill any gaps. It's almost like a course within the membership. And it means that my one-to-ones now serve a different purpose. And people who are just starting out or who don't have the budget for my one-to-one packages yet, they don't necessarily need it. The mastermind training is comprehensive enough. So sometimes you do need to amend what you offer just to make it more aligned. Again, steered by what you discover about your client base. This concept came up a lot when Charlotte and I were creating our Launch, Teach and Fill group classes course. I recalled an instance where one of my clients increased the prices of his one-to-ones, hoping to make his cheaper group classes more appealing. But his parents didn't care about price. They wanted one-to-ones regardless because they felt it was the holy grail. Group classes in their eyes couldn't possibly be as effective. This was a classic example of making decisions based on what we think, not based on what our clients are thinking. So another action to take is to think about how you can educate your clients on which option is right for them based on their needs. Money might be a driving force, say if you work with people for whom budget's limited. But I think the danger with leading the buying decision with money comes down to retention. If someone is looking for the cheapest option, then what's stopping them from leaving you when a better option comes along? Whereas if they base their decision on matching what they invest with what they need, they're more likely to stay because they're really seeing the benefits. Yes, money does play a part, of course it does, but I've surprised myself at how I can gather the money I need when I really want something, that I initially responded to with, I can't afford it. Right, I'm going to stop there because I've given you a lot to do and a lot to think about. I like to try and give you quick and impactful things, but sometimes we do need to spend the time. And I think the biggest takeaway from this episode is to take the time to really understand your client base. It won't happen overnight necessarily, and you may even need to reserve time specifically for it, like encouraging people to jump on calls with you, asking them specific questions, maybe running polls and surveys. But trust me when I say, this is so worth it. So thank you as always for spending your time with me. If you have a quick moment, please do leave a review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, and you will hear from me on Wednesday. Would you like to take this discussion further? Perhaps you have some questions or you'd like more ideas on tailoring your business. If so, book a free discovery call through the link in the show notes.